Good morning. We call the Senate Finance Committee to order. Today's Monday, March 21st, 2022, and it's 9:05 a.m. Please silence all cell phones. Co-Chair Stedman, Senator Von Imhoff, Senator Olson, Senator Wilikowski will be along shortly. Senator Wilson, Senator Hoffman as well will be along shortly. Thanks to Allison and Jake. Good morning. Today's agenda: extend the Board of Medical Examiners of Optometry, SB 186, SB 190, to extend Regulatory Commission of Alaska, SB 222, extend Occupational Therapy Board, we've got Ms. Curtis here, so we thought this would be board extension morning, so she doesn't have to run back and forth. So the first up is 186, SB 186, extend the Board of Examiners in Optometry. So, Mr. Lampkin, where did I see him? Mr. Lampkin, Senator Stevens, staff to Senator Stevens, sir, if you'd come up and bill introduction, and we'll go from there.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, Tim Lampkin, staff to Senator Stevens. We are here just simply to shepherd this piece of legislation before you. I think it's fairly widely known the Board of Examiners and Optometry has done some good work for many decades. It's a self-funded regulatory body. The folks that really should be doing the talking here, I'd like to defer to is the auditor and the stakeholders themselves. I opted not to do a sectional in this regard simply because it's a one-sentence bill. It speaks pretty plainly.
Thank you. Seeing no questions from Mr. Lampkin, Ms. Curtis. Good morning.
Good morning. I'm Chris Curtis, State Legislative Auditor. Division of Legislative Audit conducted a sunset audit of the Board of Examiners and Optometry. It's dated June of 2021. I believe you all have a copy in your meeting packets. So this audit concluded that the Board conducted its meetings in compliance with state law, effectively licensed optometrists, and actively amended regulations to implement statutory changes and to improve the license process. The audit also found that the Division of Corporations, Business and Professional Licensing, DCBPL, the DCBPL staff failed to operate in the public's interest by not consistently recording the existence of a DEA number in DCBPL's licensing database, by not ensuring that continuing education audits were conducted timely, and by not effectively monitoring licensees' compliance with continuing education in pain management and opioid use and addiction. So we are recommending the legislature extend this board 6 years. That's 2 years less than the 8-year maximum allowed for in statute. My reduced extension recommendation reflects the need for more timely oversight in light of the audit findings. So if you turn to page 9 of the audit, you'll find the standard licensing statistics. As of January 2021, there were 218 licensed optometrists. That reflects an increase of 18% when compared to the prior 2013 sunset audit. If you turn to page 10, you'll see the schedule of board revenues and expenditures. As of January 2021, the board had a deficit of approximately $52,000. There was a fee increase recommended in April 2020. However, fees were not increased due to a directive from the governor's office to freeze the fee increases for occupational boards to help mitigate the financial impact of the pandemic. You can see a schedule of fees on page 11. The report makes three recommendations starting on page 13. First, we recommend the DCBPL director dedicate resources to ensure the existence of a DEA number is accurately recorded in the licensing database. This information is needed to monitor compliance with the licensee's requirement to register with the Controlled Substance Prescription Database. We found that DCBPL licensing staff were provided training on how to do this. We also found that they did not follow the instructions. According to DCBPL management, regular turnover in the board's licensing examiner positions and licensing supervisor positions led to inadequate training and oversight. Rec 2 is on page 14. The board chair and DCBPL director should change the license renewal form to allow the board to monitor compliance with continuing education requirements. There was a change in these requirements effective July of 2018 to require licensees to obtain 2 hours of continuing education in pain management and opioid use and addiction That's in the 2 years prior to the license renewal date. Auditors found the board and DCBPL staff did not update the December 2020 license renewal form to require licensees to report compliance with this requirement. And then moving on to Rec 3 on page 15, DCBPL's director should ensure that adequate resources are available to perform continuing education audits timely. DCBPL's main internal control to ensure that licensees are complying with continuing education requirements is to conduct an audit of 10% of the licensees. And for this particular board, auditors found that it took the division 2.5 years to complete the compliance review for this board. According to management, turnover and multiple licensing staff vacancies contributed to the finding. So management's response to the audit began on page 25. Commerce, Community and Economic Development Commissioner concurs with the conclusions and the recommendations. She reports that the licensing examiner position turned over 5 times during the 3.5 year audit period, and the licensing supervisor turned over 4 times. And this turnover led to all three of the findings. Then the chair's response is on page 27. The chair responds to Rec 2 in regards to the renewal form, and the chair reports that this will be addressed before the next license renewal cycle.
Questions from the table? I have one myself, but I'll defer to the colleagues. Senator Wilson.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. Ms. Curtis, is it most of the findings, are they just related to more of the staff situations in the division, or is it more toward the licensees? Who's more at onerous for these findings?
Through the chair, Senator Wilson, is that question between the board and the DCBPL? Okay, as opposed to the licensees and the, okay. In this case, the findings mainly circulate around the division's performance. However, in the licensing form examples, the board and the licensing staff reviewed the form and approved the form, which was deficient.
Thank you.
Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ms. Curtis, getting down to what the Board of Optometry is supposed to be doing, or the optometrist is supposed to be doing, has there been any eye health issues that have been compromised by the non-performance of the DCBPL?
Through the chair, it would be impossible to respond to that. However, I can give you negative assurance. We did not come across any specific public health implication. Anything would be more indirect, not finishing continuing education and pain management and opioid use and addiction. That could have public health implications. But did we find anything conclusive that found someone that, say, had opioid problems because they didn't finish their continuing education? That is, the answer to that is no.
Okay. Mr. Wilson, continue, Mr. Chairman.
Follow up.
Has to do with the, you mentioned the freeze on the licensing fees that are there. We heard the other day that the vet from the division, that the veterinarians have got an escalating, or at least an increasing license fee that's going to be on for them, for their licensees. Are they not subject to the freeze as well?
Through the chair, my understanding is that it was for all boards during the pandemic. So now that we're out of the pandemic, but the director of DCBPL is here and could respond to that.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair. No further questions.
Thank you. Ms. Chambers, would you like to join us at the table? I have one question. I think it's in your wheelhouse.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, Sarah Chambers, Director of the Division of Corporations, Business and Professional Licensing. And through the chair, Senator Olson, yes, all of our boards and our non-boarded licensing programs were subject to the freeze during the pandemic, and that was offset in FY, any needed fee increases were offset in FY 21, 22, and now proposed 23 with a small amount of general fund. And both the veterinary board and the optometry board have either received or stand to receive in FY23 finances to prevent a fee increase for the time being.
If I can continue, Mr. Chairman.
Paul.
So do you anticipate, now that we are out of the pandemic, are you anticipating a fee for a higher fee for the optometrists as well?
Through the chair, Senator Olson, one of the items that we've expressed in the FY23 budget is our intent to work on some proposal to the legislature to look at the way that fees are assessed in general, putting 100% of the administrative and investigative fees on licensees has been difficult for many licensees, and so we are looking at FY23 as sort of a stopgap coming out of the pandemic and into proposal for changing that policy so it might be a little bit more stable and fair to our licensees.
I can continue, Mr. Chairman.
Follow up.
PDMP, we were talking about that with the veterinarians. Are the with the drugs that are prescribed by the optometrists, are they subject to the PDMP burden that the vets have?
Through the chair, Senator Olson, yes, the optometrists, if they have a DEA license, are required to participate in the PDMP.
Last question, Mr. Chairman.
Senator?
Eye health. We talked about the compromising situation that may be out there. Have you heard of any complaints to the division where somebody's eye health was compromised?
Through the chair, no, Senator Olson. This program has very, very low investigative burden and disciplinary outcomes.
No further questions, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Ms. Senator Von Imhoff.
Thank you. So Senator Olson did ask the question, so essentially to confirm, since the last, was it 6 years ago, 8 years ago, when the last audit took place, there has been no filings for malpractice or patient, either a patient lawsuit or a patient has fallen ill or has damage. So have there been any complaints to the department against an optometrist?
Through the chair, Senator Von Imhoff, I can't say conclusively right now that there have been no complaints. I'd be happy to get back to the committee on that. Since the time of the last audit. During this audit period, there I know that there has been discipline. I believe that discipline was due to noncompliance with the audits, but I'd be happy to get back to the committee with that.
Thank you. And then follow up. So you said it's not fair to ask the licensees to pay for both administration and investigation process. Then who should pay? Is it general funds every year, or is it general funds to get through this bridge year and then the licensees take it over? I mean, I understand from being in this body here and in this finance committee, investigations are costly, some more than others depending on the nature of the board, but investigations are part of it. It is what it is. So are you suggesting going forward that general funds should pick up some of these investigative processes, or who should pick it up going forward?
Through the chair, Senator Von Imhoff, I think that's something that we're going to be working on for the next legislative session, that there is an opportunity for the legislature to partner with the administration and determine, is the current model the best model? And it may be. But I know that there are various fee setting and fee funding structures that are used across the U.S. and with an economy of scale like Alaska. It's a good idea to bring that up to the legislature again.
Ms. Chambers, Ms. Curtis, a few minutes ago told us that we had five people terminate and we had four people terminate, and that has been a direct result to some of these audit findings. So my question to you is, what have those exit surveys shown from those exiting people, why they're leaving?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. That's an excellent question, and that's actually one of the topics I'll be covering in House Labor and Commerce this afternoon, if anyone has free time and wants to watch. There is a We tend to say that we train people up to go work in other state divisions. We have range 14, 16 sort of junior to mid-range positions where we train people to manage boards and we train people to manage customer service. And it's quite a hefty skill set that we ask these junior to mid-range positions to perform. And they often will go take that knowledge and experience and promote up to another state agency. Certainly there's an amount of turnover that's going to happen in Alaska, people moving out of state and that sort of thing. But this program and a few other programs that are smaller and don't require a full PCN often gets moved under another position that may have the part-time work to work on this program. So some of it is matriculating up in the state system and promoting, which is fantastic, but not so much for the Board of Examiners and Optometry. And then sometimes we move management of this position over to another position because, again, it's not a full-time job.
Well, I'll just leave my comment and leave it alone at this, but you know, when we're dealing, and it's not any shade at anybody, but maybe we should look at, the administration should look at increasing the PCNs because you're dealing with public health here, and maybe you get what you pay for. So to have some continuity and life safety and health, that should be a consideration for an increase in a PCN range, in my opinion. So.
If I could, Mr. Chairman, I just want to reinforce and say thank you for that. And that is, those are the strategies we're working on with the administration right now. We are looking at a restructure of the professional licensing section, which may include some reclassification if it is successful through the Department of Administration's process. And looking at, since our numbers, our licensing numbers in general are going up steadily, whether additional positions would be useful. And the FY 2023 budget does include two new PCNs, not for this program, but for other programs that may allow this program and others a little bit of breathing room. So I just wanted to reinforce those are conversations that we're having, and certainly retention in this time of high turnover in many state agencies is creating a lot of healthy conversation.
Thank you. Seeing no further questions from the table, we're going to continue with our invited testimony. And we're going to go now to Damian Delzer, Eye Clinic of Fairbanks. If I misspoke, I apologize. Doctor, if you could put yourself on the record and keep your testimony to 2 minutes, it would be greatly appreciated because we'd need to be out of here by 10:30 for four.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Damian Delzer. I have been practicing optometry in Alaska continuously for nearly 29 years. It has been my distinct privilege and honor to have recently completed 8 years of service on the Board of Examiners in Optometry, with the last three as chair. The board is charged with the mission of public protection through vetting of new applicants, assuring appropriate continuing competency of current licensees, addressing inquiries from the public, investigation of any complaints, as well as crafting and enforcing regulation to implement legislative statutory change. The board has implemented nearly 20 regulatory changes over the past 3 years. These regulations have included issues such as continued education requirements, including opioid education, scope of practice, military exemptions, specialty designation, modernization of law examination, and modernization of prescription requirements, as well as emergency regulation modifications during the height of the pandemic. The board is self-funded through license fees, and board travel expenses have been minimized through exclusive use of virtual meetings over the past 3 years. The board chair also participates in biweekly board chair meetings as well as biweekly PDMP meetings. And thank you for your consideration of this board extension.
Thank you, Doctor. And we'll next go to our next invited testimony, and that's Mr. Dobson in Anchorage from Diamond Vision Clinic. Mr. Dobson, if you can hear us, would you put yourself on the record and 2 minutes of testimony, please, sir?
Yes, it's Steve Dobson. And through the chair, good morning. I appreciate the opportunity to express my support of Senate Bill 186 that would extend the Alaska Board of Examiners and Optometry to June 30th of 2028. Again, my name is Steve Dobson, D-O-B-S-O-N. I'm a lifelong Alaskan, born in Fairbanks. Family moved to Anchorage shortly after the 64 earthquake and pretty much raised in Anchorage, completed my undergraduate college work in Anchorage, received my doctorate at Southern California College of Optometry and completed a residency in rehabilitative optometry at the Veterans Medical Center of Los Angeles. Shortly thereafter, returned to Alaska, opened the Diamond Vision Clinic located in South Anchorage, where I've been in private practice for the past 39 years. I had the privilege to serve on the board of examiners in optometry back in the late 80s and served as chair in the early 90s. That time serving on the board allowed me the opportunity to appreciate the important role that the board is charged with regarding protecting the visual welfare of Alaskans. Optometrists here in Alaska, including myself, look to the board to assure that new licensees as well as current practitioners are qualified and continue to maintain the high professional standards set forth by the board. The board is continually charged with evaluating and implementing regulatory changes that reflect the advances in education and training that's provided in accredited schools and colleges of optometry. I sincerely appreciate your time consideration extending the Board of Examiners in Optometry. And if I may, just real briefly, as an optometric colleague, I'd like to take a moment just to acknowledge and extend my sincere appreciation to Dr. Delzer for his willingness to volunteer his time, his expertise, and his superb leadership working these past several years with the Alaska Board of Examiners in Optometry. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony, sir. That closes up this portion of the invited testimony. We're opening public testimony. Jake, am I missing anybody? I don't see anybody on public testimony. Anybody in the room wishing to testify? Public testimony is closed. Any further committee discussion? The amendment deadline is March 23rd, 12 p.m. We set this bill aside. Next, we're going to go to 190, Extend Regulatory Commission of Alaska. And Senator Myers, our intention is to please go ahead and please sit down. Our intention is we're going to hear this bill today, take our invited and public testimony, and set the bill aside. Mr. Mann and Senator Myers are here to present the bill. Floor is yours, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For the record, Robert Myers, Senator for District B. Again, thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the committee for hearing the bill today. We have SB 190, the RCA board extension. Before my aide presents a brief sectional analysis of the changes, I wanted to speak to the sponsor statement. This is a relatively simple bill that, as of right now, extends the RCA up through June 30th of 2027. The Regulatory Commission of Alaska is an independent quasi-judicial regulatory body that was formed by the legislature in 1999 to replace the Alaska Public Utilities Commission. The RCA monitors active certificates for public utilities and pipelines. These certificates cover a broad range of activities from provisional certificates for small village water and wastewater systems to fully regulated telecommunications, electric and natural gas monopolies. And with that, Mr. Chair, if you would like Mr. Mann here, he can read over the sectional analysis and the explanation of changes.
Please.
Good morning, members of the committee, Co-Chair Bishop. For the record, Dawson Mann, staff to Senator Myers. I will first be reading the explanation of changes between the original Senate Bill 190 and the Labor and Commerce Committee substitute. So, Section 1, page 1, lines 4 through 9, the Senate Labor and Commerce Committee added legislative intent language to uncodified law, which states that it is the intent to extend the Regulatory Commission of Alaska every 5 years to take into account the term length of legislators providing for awareness of the commission and its purpose through legislative review and debate. And then Section 2, AS 4466.010A3, page 1, lines 10 through 3, changes the expiration date of the commission from 2030 to 2027. Now, the sectional analysis for the bill, the first section is the legislative intent language I just read from the Senate Labor and Commerce Committee. The second section extends the termination date to June 30th, 2027, and the third section establishes an immediate effective date.
Thank you, Mr. Mann. Any questions? We've got, man, this lighting up here. Senator Olson, and then Senator Von Imhoff, and then Senator Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senator Myers, are you in favor of what the committee substitute has, how they've changed the bill from its original format?
Through the chair to Senator Olson, we will defer to the wishes of the auditor and what they've
said. No further questions, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Von Imhoff.
Yes, that was my question, is essentially why the change from 2030 to 2027. I just hope to get an explanation for that.
Through the chair, Senator Von Imhoff, that was the simply the will of the previous committee. There were one or two members that were concerned about how large the RCA is and how with an eight-year extension that they believed that there would be legislators that would move through this body and not know what they are, not be familiar with their operations, and they wished a more frequent audit so that more legislators would become familiar with the RCA.
Follow up, Senator Von Imhoff.
Yes, and so considering that it's the onus on the legislators to get schooled up on the various different subjects that we're faced with, the bigger picture is this audit is very, it's pretty significant. It takes a lot of time and energy, and if the auditor, who's performing the work in a very deep dive, makes a recommendation, she probably, or their team, probably has a good reason to make a recommendation either way. And if she has been doing this for 15, 20 years and sees that this particular group is moving forward in a reasonable and rational way and makes a recommendation for 2030, and the reason you just provide me, and I'm not suggesting that you provide it, but the previous committee, because they want to be, they want to see it more frequently, well, why don't they just pick up the audit and read it?
Senator Wilson, and then Senator Stedman.
Yeah, I thank you, Mr. Chair. Very similar questions from the previous two senators, just trying to get a better understanding. It looks like there is only one finding, and I guess the auditor will speak to this, but it looks like it was just a meeting situation, and I just agree that if it was an eight-year sunset, then with no major findings, we're sort of consequencing and going through the repetitive steps of time and resources that may not be necessary.
Senator Stedman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have to agree with the last two senators that spoke on this subject. I've never, since I've been here, ever seen an excuse not to extend the board because of changing legislators. They change every 2 years. And I would agree with Senator Von Imhoff, their responsibilities to figure out what's going on, not to increase the operational cost of the state and by truncating these reviews. So I'd be interested to hear what the auditor has to say. I think that's a pretty weak excuse, Mr. Chairman.
I'll just say I concur with all my colleagues. It doesn't appear to be broke, but you can fix it till it is broke. So any other questions of the bill's sponsor before Ms. Curtis comes up under invited testimony? Seeing none, thank you, gentlemen. Good job, Dawson. Ms. Curtis?
Hello, Chris Curtis, Legislative Auditor. So we conducted an audit of our Regulatory Commission of Alaska, referred to as RCA, dated September 2021. I believe you have a copy of this one as well. So we concluded that RCA operated in an effective manner and served the public's interest by assessing the capabilities of utility and pipeline companies to safely serve the public, by evaluating tariffs and charges made by regulated entities, by verifying pass-through charges to consumers from electric and natural gas utilities, by adjudicating disputes between ratepayers and regulated entities, by providing consumer protection services, and by performing financial reviews of utilities as part of the state's power cost equalization program. We are recommending the legislature extend this authority 8 years. I'd like to have you turn to page 19 of the audit. We did conduct a survey of stakeholders. We sent this survey to 188 individuals that were party to a docket or a tariff from July 2017 through February of 2021. 59 responded. The survey questions, you know, are summarized starting on page 19. And if you look at how they're graphed, that to the right, you've got the violet and the blue color. Those are positive responses. You've got the green is neutral. You've got the negative responses in your orange and goldenrod colors. So just by visually looking at these questions, you can see that the positive responses to the questions far outweigh the negative responses. And rather than reading exactly the percentages, and I just want to, I'll read the questions out to the public. We asked first, overall, how satisfied are you with the following services? And we went through the services of RCA, consumer protection, dispute resolution, tariff review, regulation, rate, and review, and certification. We asked, to what extent do you agree with the RCA acts in the public's interest when carrying out their duties? We asked, based on your experience, how often does RCA meet their statutory timelines? And then to what extent do you agree that they effectively communicate? So those are the areas we surveyed, and again, positive responses generally. So I'd like to have you turn back to page 4. We conclude that RCA resolved most of their consumer complaints within a 30-day period. 30 days is not a statutory timeline, but it is a performance measure for the authority. We, on Exhibit 3, on page 5, we provide a listing of the types of complaints that RCA received from July 2020 through February 2021 to give the public a flavor of the types of complaints. And on page 4, we also conclude that RCA processed tariff filings and dockets within the statutory and regulatory timelines, which is probably the area that receives the most complaints or the most review is their timelines and how fast they processed. So we do have one recommendation. It begins on page 9. It's an administrative recommendation. We recommend the RCA chair clarify regulations concerning the cancellation of scheduled public meetings. RCA regulations require the authority to have two meetings a month. During instances when there's no agenda items, they do cancel their meetings. During the audit period, there was 25 of 88 scheduled meetings canceled, and 6 instances where meetings were consecutive meetings were canceled. According to RCA management, regulations allow the commission to modify a requirement by their own motion. And we did agree that that is true, but it does require apparently an official motion, and we did not see the official motion happening in regards to canceling their meetings. So in general, is it reasonable that the authority is canceling meetings when they have no agenda items? Certainly, no problem with that. Does it strictly adhere to their regulations? No. So we just raised it to their attention. It's a simple fix. It's an administrative issue. We don't believe it weighs in on the extension timeline. So responses to the audit begin on page 23. Both the commissioner of DCCED and the RCA chairman support the 8-year extension.
Thank you. Questions? Senator Von Imhoff, then Senator Wilson.
Thank you. So I think you are right that regulatory timelines. There's been questions about how long it takes for the RCA to review rates. Is it 6 months? Is it 1 year? Is it 2 years? And then to make recommendations. And in particular, well, I'll ask that one first. Just what is the normal cycle? Can you comment on how long it takes from the time that they make the decision to the time where the rates are published?
Through the chair. I can't comment on that, but I can direct the public to the review on RCA's annual report. The background section of that audit's available on our website. We go through in the background information all the statutory timelines because they're very different for each type of thing. So it's and then there's regulatory timelines on top of that. So the process that is put into place can take, you know, a year, 2 years. There's certain public comment phases. It can take, it's a quite a long phase. Now, those are statutory requirements that have been approved by the legislature or regulatory requirements that have gone through the public review process. So when we go in there and we test to whether they're complying with those requirements. So we found that they were complying with those requirements, but are those requirements onerous? Are they time consuming? That's the next question.
Follow up, Senator.
Thank you. I think you just hit the nail on the head, and just like Ms. Chambers was saying earlier, that maybe it's time to review some of these licensing and fees. Maybe we keep them the way they are. Maybe we change them. It's just time to review. Perhaps it's time for this body to review these regulatory timelines. And 2 years seems a long time for me. I know that, you know, I was hearing from the refuse waste management that it can take up to 2 years, and that that's a lot of limbo time that I think is unfair for businesses. And if we want to be a business or a state that's open for business and we want to move our economic engine forward, then we should be timely with our processes. And I think it's something that's worth reviewing. Thank you.
I concur with Senator Von Imhoff. You got part of my question, so we're good. And Senator Wilson is flagged off. He's good. And any other questions of Ms. Curtis before we go to our further invited testimony? Seeing none, thank you, Ms. Curtis. We're going to go to Mr. Kerber, Commissioner of the Regulatory Commission of Alaska. And Mr. Kerber, would you like to have a couple of minutes of testimony here?
Mr. Chair, Commissioner Kerber of the RCA, I will defer my comments to the chairman's first. But I would note that in the last hearing in the other committee, one of the things that was brought up by somebody, I don't remember who, was the, asking of legislative audit how that would affect their cycles as well in terms of the reduction from 8 years to 5 years. I'm not sure there was an answer there, but since there is somebody from legislative audit, perhaps that would be appropriate question to ask her at this time. But other than that, I have nothing further to add.
Thank you. Mr. Pickett, I see you're online for questions only. Did you want to make any comments briefly?
Just briefly. Thank you for the opportunity to be here. I would like to commend the legislative auditors. I've been a commissioner for 14 years and been through three of these, and this was probably the most professional one. But audits are time-consuming, both for the legislative auditors and for the commission, so we would support the original recommendation of an 8-year audit, but I am available for any questions that the committee may have.
Seeing none from the committee, we're going to close our invited testimony, and we're going to open public testimony. And 1 second, anyone in the room wishing to testify? Seeing none, no one is online, we've closed public testimony. Any further committee discussion before we set the bill aside? And the amendment deadline is March 28th. Thank you, Senator Myers, and your staff for bringing this forward. Ms. Curtis, thank you. Next up is SB 222. We're going to talk about extending the Occupational Therapy Board. This is the first hearing of this bill. Our intention is to hear a bill introduction, take invited and public testimony. And Senator Gray Jackson, welcome, ma'am. Good to see you this morning. And your staff, I'm drawing a blank. And I did
Keith Bogus.
I did a good job on your name a week ago, yeah. But I know you're not Bessie, so.
Okay.
Introduce yourself for the record.
Oh, yes, for the record, Keith Bogus. Staff to Senator Gray Jackson.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and committee members. Thank you so much for hearing my bill, Senate Bill 222, this morning. And the State Physical Therapy and Occupational Therapy Board, it provides oversight for medical services utilized by many Alaskans. Extending the board's termination date will allow for continued regulation of the practice of physical and occupational therapy in our state, ensuring that the industry adheres to best practices. And under current statute, the board is set to terminate on June 30th, 2022, and the Division of Legislative Audit recommends the maximum, which is an 8-year extension to June 30th, 2030. Thank you, Mr. Chairman and committee members.
Thank you. Any questions, bill sponsor? Seeing none, Ms. Curtis? You could join us at the table and
Chris Curtis, Legislative Auditor. So we did conduct a sunset review of the State Physical Therapy and Occupational Therapy Board dated April 2021, if you have a copy. Overall, we found the board served the public's interest by conducting their meetings in accordance with state law, by amending certain regulations to improve the professions of physical therapy and occupational therapy, and by effectively licensing physical therapists, physical therapy assistants, occupational therapists and occupational therapy assistants. We are recommending an 8-year extension. If you turn to page 5 of the audit, you'll find the licensing statistics. As of January 2021, there was 1,762 active licenses and permits. This is an increase of 53% when compared to the prior 2013 audit. According to the board chair, telehealth contributed to the increase. Page 7, you'll find the board's schedule of revenues and expenditures. As of January 2021, the board had a surplus of just over $211,000. Schedule of fees is shown on page 6. Fees were decreased in 2020 in response to the surplus. The report makes no recommendations. Agency responses to the audit begin on page 19. Both the DCCED commissioner and the board chair agree with the conclusions.
Thank you, Ms. Curtis. Any questions? Seeing none, we're going to open public testimony. Public testimony is now open. And is anyone in the room wishing to testify? Seeing none, I see no one online. Public testimony is closed. The amendment deadline is Wednesday, March 23rd at 12 p.m. Seeing no further action to come before the committee at this time, our next meeting is at 1 p.m. this afternoon. On the agenda is SB 81, Village Public Safety Officers Grants, and Senate Bill 203, Purple Heart Trail. Any other action items before the committee before we adjourn? Seeing none, we're adjourned at 9:45.